Well, if God wants us to know His will, and it's good for us, why is it so difficult to discover?
That's the Reverend Charles Reeb, who brings you an encouraging message of faith and hope. Today, on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the interdenominational program featuring outstanding preachers from across America, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thank you, Sherry. Today we welcome back for his third and final visit with us in this series, the Reverend Charles Reeb, Senior Pastor of Tuscarawas United Methodist Church in Castleberry, Florida. Charlie, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Last week you told us a little bit about your calling to the ministry, and I wonder if you could help people who are listening today who may have sensed a call in their own lives. What would you suggest to someone?
Well, first of all, I'd suggest getting some kind of mentor in the ministry. I think that's very important. Of course, most mainline denominations have something set up where if someone is feeling a call to ministry, they can in turn go to their minister or someone who's a leader in the church and be guided. But more than that, I think it's important to just pay attention, to be aware. For me, in my own life, it was kind of a threefold thing. I had a conviction in my heart to change lives with the gospel. And then I was put in circumstances, I believe, by God where I could discover and see my gifts in action. And then people affirmed me. They said they began to see the evidence of the gifts in my life. And so pay attention to those three things, and in addition to getting a mentor, and may that guide you.
You are a graduate of the Candler School of Theology at Emory University, and you're also presently working on a doctorate at Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta. What is the focus of your studies there?
Well, technically speaking, it's a church and ministry program, and there are several different avenues that you can go down. I just began the program, so I'm just now reflecting on the things I want to focus on. But I just finished my first course, which was Preaching the Gospel of John, and that was such a rich class for me, just diving into the gospel and looking at the Greek and coming up with all the beautiful, profound meanings that come out of that gospel. So I'm excited about where the program's going to take me.
When you were at Candler, you served as the chaplain of the Georgia State Senate. What was that like? Did you find yourself dancing on the wall of separation between church and state?
Or? Well, actually, that was a one-time event.
Okay.
What they do at the Georgia Senate is they invite different preachers from different denominations to come and do that, and I was invited one time to do it. And it was very exciting. I distinctly remember in seminary being a little intimidated by doing that, and I was kind of working out, what am I going to say to all these politicians? And I asked a wonderful professor at Emory about it, named Dr. Bill Mallard, and he was very wise. And I said, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to say to these politicians? And he said, Charlie, I'll tell you what you say. Just talk about love. And if anybody needs to hear about love, it's politicians and it's everybody. So that was really a moment of clarity for me, and I appreciated that.
Today we continue to consider some of the common wonders of the faith, and you're focusing on God's will. You're going to preach from Romans chapter 12. Would you read that passage for us?
Sure will. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
So the Apostle Paul here describes God's will as what is good and acceptable and perfect, but what are we talking about when we say God's will? Does God have a specific plan for each of us?
I believe He does. In my own experience with my relationship with God, I believe that God has a specific will and purpose for each of our lives. You know, it's an interesting thing as we begin to look at our lives and begin to think about how God's will for each of our lives is interwoven with everybody with everybody else's lives and how God's will affects them. But it's like a beautiful tapestry, you know, you turn over something that's knit together and it looks all messy, but you turn it back around and it comes together. But I do believe that God in his masterful way is able to intertwine his specific will for us into his larger plan.
Paul indicates that knowing God's will starts with presenting ourselves to God, not being conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. But how would you explain what he's saying here?
I think it's a matter of perspective. When it comes to discovering and living out of God's will, it's one of those things where we need to be transformed by the renewing our perspective, the renewing of our thinking. Because I think oftentimes in our day and age, we go off on a tangent. We're excited about something. This is something that we want to do. And then, oh, by the way, God, will you bless this? God, will you put this in your will? No, I think we need to transform our minds to say, okay, what does God want me to do? What's in God's will? And I need to get in line with the will of God.
Well, Charlie, we look forward to another challenging word from you today in this third sermon in your series on the great wonders of the faith. It's entitled, I Wonder About God's Will for My Life. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And if you'd like a free transcript of Charlie Reeb's sermon today, call us toll free at 1-888-411-DAY1 or visit our website at dayone.net.
We have all seen them. As we drive down the road, they're as plain as day. I'm not sure who the source is, but they are certainly there. Those signs from God on the highway? You know, the pitch-black background with the white message from God. I saw one just the other day that read, "We need to talk. God." I got to thinking about those signs and thought to myself, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if when we were ever confused about something, all we would have to do is look at a billboard and find the answer, or look up into the sky and there would be something written in the clouds? Or what about the radio? That would be great. We could just tune into Day One each week and God's voice would break in for each of us and say, "This is what I want you to do." A lot of us would love to hear from God in such a clear way. Then again, depending upon the message and the state of our lives, some of us would not. Overall, though, most people I speak with yearn to hear God's voice in a clear way and want to know God's will for their lives. This is one of the biggest issues I come across as a pastor. People continually come to me desperately wanting to know what God's will is for their lives. They say, "I have a big decision and I need to know what God wants me to do. I'm at a crossroad and I wonder what God's will is for my life." When I ask people what they would like to hear a sermon on, a frequent response is, "Finding God's will for my life." Obviously, finding God's will is important for many of us. Well, I have great news. God wants us to know his will even more than we want to know his will. God's will is not some secret. Discovering God's will is not some kind of existential Easter egg hunt where God hides it and is amused by watching us try to find it. God desires for us to know and do his will more than anything. So to find God's will, we don't have to be super spiritual. All we have to do is know how God speaks to us and how we hear him. It's really about learning to spot his will when we see it and then choosing to follow it. But before we get into that, we need to have the right understanding about God's will. Many people have a false picture of God and how God views human beings. Instead of seeing God as loving and merciful, many see God as an angry, gray-haired old man with a stick, waiting to find those who are breaking the rules so he can punish them. Nothing could be further from the truth. Listen to what the Bible says about God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "God's the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort." John 10, verse 11 says, "God's the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep." 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "The sovereign God who loves us so much that he calls us his children." And James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "The Father who gives only good gifts." The Bible is clear that we have a loving and merciful God. However, the most convincing evidence for the good nature and will of God is God's revelation to us in Jesus Christ. God chose to reveal himself in Jesus Christ so we could understand what his nature is like. Through Christ, God communicated to us that he forgives us, loves us, and wants what is best for us. He went all the way to the cross to prove that to us. This is why I've lifted up Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. For today's passage clearly lays out what God has in mind for us. And what God has in mind for us comes in three wonderful words in verse 2. Good, acceptable, and perfect. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. First, God's will is good. This means that God has the highest and best for us in mind. Second, God's will is acceptable. The Greek word for acceptable means well-pleasing and agreeable. Third, God's will is perfect, which means it meets the needs of the person. So you can be sure that no matter what circumstance you face, you can have the peace that comes from knowing that God's will for you in that situation is good, acceptable, and perfect. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and He wants what is best for us. By now you may be asking, well, if God wants us to know His will, and it's good for us, why is it so difficult to discover? Because we have a will too. Generally, what I find when people are struggling to find God's will is a battle of the wills, trying to decide whether or not they want to do God's will. You see, often people know what God's will is for them, they just don't want to do it. They hide behind the statement, well, woe is me, I can't find God's will, when in reality it is more like, woe is me, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. What I find as I counsel people is that choosing to do God's will is far more difficult than discovering God's will. There was once an agnostic who fell off a cliff, and halfway down he caught hold of a bush. As he hung high above the ground, he shouted, "Is anybody up there?" Again he shouted, "Is anybody up there?" A voice answered, "Yes, this is the Lord." The man yelled frantically, "Please help me!" There was a moment of silence. Then the Lord said, "Let go of the bush, and I will catch you." There was another long silence as the man looked at the ground far below. Then he yelled, "Is anybody else up there?" We often do the same thing. We ask God for His will. We know in our hearts what He wants us to do, but we don't want to do it. Then we just hang there foolishly. And why do we do this? If we know God has the best for us in mind, why do we refuse to do God's will? Because of one destructive attitude, pride. When out of control, pride can strip our spiritual gears and get us into a lot of trouble. Pride is what started it all in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve thought, "We don't need God, we can be gods ourselves." And we all know the pain and misery that followed. Too much pride can get us into a lot of trouble. I saw this illustrated right before my eyes a few years ago. I was coming out of the church office, and I watched as a toddler got away from her mother and began to run toward a busy street. The mother was pregnant and had an infant in her arms, so she could not run after her toddler. I immediately dropped the books that were in my hands and ran after the child. And I never will forget that as I ran after the child, she looked back at me laughing, determined to outrun me, not knowing she was headed for great danger. Fortunately, I was able to catch her before she ran into the busy street. Pride is like that. We get so filled with it that we are totally oblivious to where it is leading us. This is why it's impossible to live out of God's will when we are filled with pride. For pride makes us stubborn to God's will, or it selfishly attaches conditions to God's will. It is almost comical. Our pride often causes us to bargain with God. "Yes, Lord, I will forgive this person as long as he apologizes." Or, "Yes, Lord, I will serve in the church as long as I get recognized for my efforts." Is it any wonder that we have a tough time finding God's will and living it out when we live our faith in this way? You see, doing God's will with certain conditions is not obedience. To obey and follow God's will means to surrender everything to God. God wants everything we are and hope to be. He wants all of us. So if we are not surrendering to God, we are not obeying God. C.S. Lewis once said that all genuine religious conversions are blessed defeats. If we want to be clear about God's will and live it out, we must have a surrendered spirit. This means we must change how we approach God and His will for us. Instead of deciding what we want to do and asking God to bless it, we must decide to surrender all we are to God and ask Him what He wants to do with us. We must put ourselves at the disposal of God. Then and only then will we be clear about our Lord's will for our lives. You see, if Jesus is really Lord of our lives, then He will rule every area of our lives. Remember, Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." I recall as a kid wanting more than anything to please my dad. He would show me how to throw a ball or swing a tennis racket or mow the lawn. And as I did these activities, all I cared about was doing exactly what he told me. And each time I hit a ball or completed a task, I would ask incessantly, "How did I do? How did I do? How did I do?" And the moment would come when he would put his arms around me and say, "You did great. I am so proud of you." I lived for those moments. That's all I cared about, pleasing my Father. May we have the same attitude toward our Heavenly Father. May we always be at the business of wanting to please God by doing God's will. Then a day will come when we will ask, "How did I do?" And God will respond, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let's live for that moment. Let us pray. Dear Lord, give us your grace and power so that what you want for us is what we want. The answer is yes, Lord. Whatever your will is, we will do it. Amen.
Now, let's rejoin our host, Peter Wallace, and Charles Reeb for some final thoughts on this week's sermon.
Charlie, so many of us facing major decisions about our future want to make sure we're with God in whatever we do. So it's comforting to know that God isn't playing guessing games with us. But I know it's a major subject of pastoral counseling. Is part of the problem that we tend to get tied up in the details of a decision or bogged down in insignificant decisions? And how can we avoid that? How can we keep things in perspective?
Well, I must say, I'm really a pietist at heart. And what I mean by that is I believe that if we're consistent in our spiritual disciplines and every day we're reading Scripture and we're praying and we're listening and we begin to open ourselves to the Spirit and get away from those distractions of life, we can become more clear about how God wants to live our lives. And again, it's a transforming thing. The more we set aside that time in doing spiritual disciplines, the more we're clear about God's will. And I think also the more our motives change and our desires change, where what will happen is what we really wanted, what we prayed for. In the past, really, we don't want that anymore. We want something different. So,
you said one of the reasons God's will is so difficult to discover is that we have a will too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we simply ignore what we clearly know we should be doing. So how do you counsel someone who comes to you wanting to know God's will when they really just need to do God's will?
Well, that's a great question. So oftentimes I see pastoral counseling as a spiritual journey where someone is journeying towards the truth. And when a person gets to the point where they realize that the truth in their life is a conflict of wills, I think that's when the essence of the faith comes to bear, and that is whether or not you're going to be or have a surrendered spirit. And I think that's when things really become alive in your faith, is when you truly decide, okay, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender my will to yours. And I think that is a key in growing and maturing in faith.
Charlie, I wonder if you could tell us what's the one thing from your three sermons from the past 3 weeks that you'd like our listeners to take with them.
That God is in the transforming business. There's one thing that I've learned in my relationship with God is that God can transform anything. He can transform your life. He can transform your bad circumstances and turn them into good. And to rely on that, to surrender to that, and just watch the sacred things that happen around you as a result of it.
Charlie Reeb, it's been a delight to have you with us these past three wondrous weeks. Thank you.
It's been an honor for me.
Day One brings you outstanding preachers from the United Methodist Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.